you for everything. Thank you, Pastor Sexton, for letting us preach tonight, letting us be here. What a privilege, and good to see our friends. Some we know better than others. Brother Brian, y'all have to ask him about the butter jokes, will you? Him and his family, his girls over here laughing. We never had a better time in our life than the time we had with the Brother Brian and his family one night at a restaurant. Some people need to butter him up, so he'll be a butter. I thought the choir would do butter without him, but you know, that'll be it. That's all I can get tonight. All right, my wife's shaking her head, so I better quit. 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to read verse 1 through 4. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Tonight I want to preach on the little missionary to Syria. The little missionary to Syria. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach. God bless us and help us tonight. I pray that this message will be a help, Lord, an encouragement, but also a conviction, Lord, in our hearts of the need, O God, for missionaries and missions, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church that's standing for the truth. And Lord, standing compassionately and courageously, and Lord, giving to missions not only money, but their heart. And Lord, I remember when I preached here almost 4 years ago, I was able to preach about putting your heart in it. Your heart, making missions personal. And this church does that. And I'm so thankful for that. God, we love you and thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in our midst tonight. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we get the idea that missionaries are some kind of special people. You know, it takes a special person to be a missionary. Well, that's just not the case. Truth be told, we're all missionaries. Amen? We've heard this saying so much. It's not ability that God's looking for. It is availability. I mean, we've heard that. And we know that the Bible teaches that. God just is looking for somebody who will say, "I'll do that. I'll go there. I'll be willing to do that." Whether it be in a Sunday school class or driving a van or going out on evangelism, handing out the gospel tracts or whatever it might be, God is not worried about whether you think you have ability or whether you have ability. God is saying, "Will you make yourself available?" Because it's Him that gives us the ability to do it anyway. People look at what's happened there in Kimberly and you may say, "Oh my, oh wow, I don't know if I could ever..." Yeah, listen, I mean, and I'm not saying this in a flippant way. If we could do it, you could do it. Why? Because all we've done as the Branch family is say, "Yes, Lord, we will do that." That's all we did. Why we are there is because we said yes to a calling, a direction that God has given to us. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for some... And I understand the respect and the honor. I get that, and we should do that. We honored missionaries at the church that I pastored, and we honored men of God, and we ought to do that. You ought to honor your pastor, and you ought to honor great men of God. I loved Dr. Stennett Ballou. I hope I get to see him again while I'm over here. And every time I get around him, I just want to honor him in some way. And I get that. I understand that. But I think sometimes if we're not careful, if we get to honoring people like that, somebody sitting on the pews in here will get the idea, well, I guess you kind of have to be special, you know, to be able to do that. I guess you have to be somebody special to do that. And I think we're in danger sometimes of when we put people up so high, somebody's sitting there thinking, "Well, I guess I could never do that. I don't guess my family could ever do something like that because, of this and that and the other." But the Bible says in Luke 9:23, "And he said to them all, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What's the fact is that the Lord Jesus is looking in here tonight in this church and in every church that preaches the truth of God's Word. He's looking for people who just say, I'll do that. I'll go there. I'm willing to do that. That's what I'll do. And if you'll do that and say, I'll follow Him, watch out. Hang on, I'm telling you, because it'll be an adventure when you just decide, I'm going to follow the Lord and go where He leads. You think about those disciples. You know, what an adventure they were on in those years that they followed the Lord. Amen? I mean, amazing things that they saw. Anybody in here ever seen anybody walk on water? No. Mm-mm. Anybody ever seen the dead raised? No. They got to see that stuff firsthand. They were witnesses. I think about the feeding of the 5,000 plus on that hillside that day. Wow, what an exciting story. What an exciting thing to be. I'd have loved to have been there to see the Lord just keep breaking those fish and that bread and say, hand it out, fellas. Go on, give this out. They keep going. I mean, if I was those disciples, we think that, you know, it's right. We think sometimes it was high and reverent, you know, and they were coming and getting the baskets and, hey, like, I'm going to tell you what, if I was one of them disciples and I come back with my basket empty and I knew the Lord only had those five loaves and those two fishes and I kept coming back and He just kept filling up my bag. I know what I would do. I'd be going, this is amazing. I mean, I'd run out here and say, here you go, man. Hurry. And I'd come back up here and I'd wonder, is He going to do it again? And I go, oh man, this is amazing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was an amazing thing that He took those five pieces of bread and those two fishes and just kept feeding all those people. And when it's over, 12 baskets full was left over. What an adventure that was. Amen. And you know, I'm telling you, follow the Lord. You're going to see some amazing things. You're going to see some things that God will do. And you just, I'm like that sometimes over in South Africa. Here, I just bring my basket up to Jesus. Like, whoo, is He going to do it again? Is He going to do it again? I mean, every time I go in a grocery store or go somewhere and start to talk to somebody, I just think in my mind, is God going to do it again? Is God going to do this again? Is God going to save some precious soul again? Just when you think, you know, well, things are going to die down a little bit, maybe, you know, and then, boy, here they come again. God sends more fruit and God does another miracle. God changes another life. And you're just amazed at what God will do if you just follow Him. Here in our text, I believe we've got a missionary. One of the very first missionaries. Now, I know the Great Commission hadn't been given, and I know the church hadn't been established. I know all that. But what I'm talking about is when you look at the principle and the precepts of what missions really is, what is it? It's just somebody. It's a messenger. It's on a mission, right? It's a person on a mission with a message. And here's a little maiden on a mission with a message. And in essence, if you look at the principle and the breakdown of really what missions and what missionary is. And by the way, I understand the specific call of being a missionary. I know all of that. But folks, listen, the honest truth, we're all called to give out the gospel. We're all called to be missionaries. You're a missionary here in Wallen, Tennessee. I'm a missionary in South Africa. Missions is not about location, it's about people. People. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And the last time I checked, Tennessee was part of the world. Amen. I don't care what Georgia says about it. Amen. Y'all are still part of the world, okay? Amen. And so all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And you're a missionary and I'm a missionary. And it don't take nobody special. It doesn't take... Everybody says, well, I'm just waiting for God to call. You done got the call. Mark 16:15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's just maybe a specific leading or guiding or location. That may be fine. But in the meantime, while you're sitting around, sometimes I get... Well, I'm praying about that. And I'm praying when the Lord moves me, you know, and waiting for some lightning bolt to hit that old oak tree in the yard and carve out some sign in there. Listen, the sign has been given and the word and the command has been given. It's not about a call. It's about obeying the call that's already been given. And being that missionary, it doesn't take somebody special. Just somebody will say, I'll do that. I'll go there. I'm willing to do that. And here we have this little girl. I believe one of the very first missionaries, if you say in all the Bible. God does something great through her life. God saves this man Naaman. God, if you're I'm sure most everybody in this building tonight is very familiar with this story. It's been preached over and over and over again about Naaman, and I love to preach the story about how he got healed and go down that water. Love to picture all that, but man, let's look at that little girl. Because if it hadn't been for this little girl, this man would not have gotten the message. If it hadn't been for this little girl, this man would not have been healed. And let's think about this little girl and what she had in her life and what was about her that we need in our life if we want to be involved in the work of missions. If we want to be a soul winner, if we want to be a missionary to our place that God has called us to, we need these things. Number one, I want you to see she was captive. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive. That means they didn't bring her on her own will. She was captive out of the land of Israel. Now we understand and know this story. She had been taken against her will. She had been taken away from her home into this foreign land. And you say, well, Pastor, how does that relate to me? I mean, I don't understand, because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And the last I checked, we are living in a foreign land. And the more I go and the older I get, the more foreign this land gets to me. I don't recognize it anymore. It's a strange place to me. And we're living in this foreign land. We're captive. And the thing that we need to do to be a good missionary for Christ is to understand that we are captive to the will of God. We are captive to the one who has called us and bought us with a price. And we're to do what God wants us to do. Amen. We are captive. I hadn't preached this here before, have I? I don't think so. Okay. I tell you, sometimes, you ever done that? You're preaching somewhere and you're thinking, have I preached this somewhere here before? Y'all, it seems like y'all know my points before I ever get to them. She was captive. You know, Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer, he said that we are in this world, right? But not of this world. He said, they're going to hate you, I'm paraphrasing, because they hated me. And we're foreigners in this land. We're captive. I think sometimes people, I don't know, well, God saved me. Thank you. Appreciate you saving me. I got my fire insurance now. Now I want to live my life the rest of the way I want to, you know. And they accuse us all the time. You know, you believe once saved, always saved. So I believe in eternal security. I believe in eternal salvation. I believe in eternal life. I believe in everlasting life from John 3:16. Absolutely. And then they say, well, you just believe you can live any way you want to and still go to heaven. I said, not quite, you know. I'm going to heaven no matter what. That's sealed, done, and everything else. But I can't live any way I want to. God's going to get me, one thing, chasing me if I'm His child, and I'll dearly pay for it. But another thing is, I don't want to live any old way I want to no more. I don't want to live like that. I have a new desire, new want-tos, and I understand people that, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm glad I'm going to heaven now. I'm going back to my old life. No, I don't think you got the real stuff. But people accuse us of that and think somehow, you know, you can do that and all that kind of stuff. No. When you get saved, you get born again, this world becomes foreign to you. And the old way becomes a way that you don't understand anymore. Why did I ever do that before? You ever done that? Got saved? You look at that crowd and go, my goodness, why in the world did I ever do that? Thank God. That's the grace of God that's made that change in your life. But she was captive. She was a captive person. And as we are captive, we must surrender our will to God's will. And say, Lord, I'm your prisoner. Isn't that what Paul said? He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, she was committed. She was faithful. You say, how do you know? Look again in verse 2. The last part of verse 2 says, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now I know that this church believes the Bible says what it means and means what it says. And every word inspired of God. And every word has a purpose and a meaning and a reason for why it's there. And as I was studying this, I thought, why did God put that little phrase? Now to me, what it spoke to me was, God was reminding me that she was faithful. She did her duty. She waited on that. God said in the eternal canon of Scripture, I want it to be recorded that she was faithful in her duty. She was committed to what she was there to do. She waited on Naaman's wife. In spite of her circumstances, she was faithful. God will not use anybody in the work of missions and winning souls and doing this work if we're not faithful. If we're not committed. Oh, the three churches that I pastored, the greatest task I had was trying to get people to be faithful. You got to get people to be faithful. Faithful in their personal life. Faithful in their home life. Faithful in their church life. Just be faithful. I was privileged to be a member at Gospel Light Baptist Church with Brother Bobby Robertson for a year, just 1 year. And man, in that 1 year, Brother Sexton, if I heard him preach one time, he preached 100 times on just be faithful, amen. Preacher Bobby would say, just be faithful. You can be anything, you can be faithful. He'd just preach on faithfulness. Boy, I love that. And that's something that my daddy put in me and God has put in me, that you ought to be faithful. You ought to be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and honor God by just being faithful. We don't have enough people being faithful today. They won't be faithful to a job, won't be faithful to their home, won't be faithful to church. They won't be faithful to nothing. People over here, one thing you hear from missionaries, and I'm not whining and I'm not going to, you know, all this stuff. By the way, I know this. America is still the country everybody wants to go to. All right? There's not a person in South Africa, if I offered them a free ticket to come to America, they'd turn it down. Everybody. They say, where are you from, America? And I say, yes. Oh, can I go with you? And then they say, what do you think about Donald Trump? And I go, can I get my order, please? But I'll tell you one thing I do know that we realize, and I know most missionary fans are going to tell you this. We are some spoiled people in this country. I mean, brother. 3.5 cars and your trying to fit it in your 2-car garage, paved driveway, a McMansion in the suburbs on your cul-de-sac, 156,000 channels, and you can't find one thing worth watching on it. And I mean, and we go through the drive-through, and I mean, if that complete meal is not ready in 1.5 minutes, we are calling somebody. I mean, I'm trying to feed my family of 6, and if you ain't got that complete meal that I just paid $34 for in 2.5 minutes, I am going crazy on this. I mean, I'm crazy. And we see people, and I'm not going to. We're not there to heal the poverty. We go out into the villages and people come up to us, give me some money, give me a job. And I said, I'm not here to give you the one. I'm here to give you Jesus. And if you have Jesus, He's all that you need. Yes. I'd rather die living in a cardboard shack knowing I'm saved and going to heaven than die in the biggest mansion and going to hell. Yes. But we see people living in 10 shanties, no running water, no electric, no floor. No car. All they got to eat is a basic staple of a meal, a maize cornmeal thing that they mix together. It's something every day. Some of the children, if they're lucky, get one meal a day. And I've seen some of that stuff, and I see how spoiled. Oh my! And people here are just, if you don't like this job, quit that and go get you another tomorrow. And if you don't like that car, just go that and get you 14 years of financing on something you can't afford and charge it here and there. We're spoiled. And because of that, we don't know what it means to be committed to something. Well, I've never had anything hard, seems like. Oh, this young lady had a hard life, but she was still faithful. We'll make every excuse in the sun. Can't come to church because it's too hot. Next week we can't come because it's too cold. And it's going to rain, can't come then. You know, let's be committed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not requested. God's not in heaven saying, pretty please. Pretty please, Brother Branch, will you just please be faithful there in South Africa? Would you just do that for me, please? That's not what God's doing. God's saying, I'm commanding you. I require you, sir. I have given you a stewardship. I have given you an appointment, a divine appointment. And I require you to be faithful. We're to be faithful. She was captive. She was committed. I love this one. She was compassionate. Look at verse 3. And she said unto her mistress. Now here's a sentence. And at the end of this sentence, there is a punctuation mark. Do I have any grammar students in here? Has school started back yet? Has it? Oh, bless your heart, you little children. And the parents are going... Anybody in here like grammar? You like grammar. Anybody? Ma'am, you're too far out of school to like grammar anymore. I'm sorry. Any other schools? How about a high school student that has grammar? Anybody? Come on, don't be shy. All right, you, sir. I saw you. You raised your hand, I think. Maybe you're scratching your ear. Sir, right here, sir. I know you're not in high school anymore, but you, sir. Yes, sir. All right, do you see that punctuation mark at the end of that sentence? Look at it in the Bible. Would God that she would... You see that at the end of that sentence, you see the punctuation mark. Well, somebody help him with the punctuation. You know what I'm talking about? Little thing straight, had to... like that. You hear what he said? What is it? Exclamation point. Now, I'm going to say this sentence. You tell me if I'm right the way I say it. Will you do that for me? You might have to help him, Brother Ruckman. Here we go. Would God, my Lord, with the prophet that was in Samaria... Did I say it right? I didn't say it right? Let me try it again. Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria? I didn't say it right either. Let me try one more time. Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria?
Amen.
Did I say it right? Give that boy a hand. Amen. You get a free prize. Come by. Get a free prayer card right after the service is over. Okay? Now wait a minute. Why would God do that? Brother Sexton, not only did God say... Pin down what she said. I want you to pin down the way she said it. I love that. The Bible comes alive when you see not just the words of the Word of God, but then the punctuation that's there. This young lady said this with exclamation. Why? She had something to say and she wanted them to hear her. She said, would God, somebody listen to me, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet, is it in Samaria? Now, let's think about who she's trying to help. Verse 1, we get a description of Naaman. We see that he's a leper, but let's back up through that verse and we see that he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Meaning he was the general. Amen. He was the high command of the Syrian army. The Syrian army that took this maid captive. Now, it stands to reason, because we do not see her parents involved, and she's now a little maiden in this home, and we know by reading through the Bible how they fought battles over there. There was bloodshed. I'm talking about people died when they took countries. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
They didn't just walk in, knock on the door and say, hey, you mind if we take over? Why, sure, come on in. They didn't do that. They killed everybody and kept the young to be servants. It stands to reason here that it's very likely that her parents had been murdered in the taking of her being captive. It's very likely. At the least, she has been taken away from her parents to be made a servant in this man's household. And who is this man? Oh, he just happens to be the commander of the army that has ruined her life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest. If I were her, I would most likely hate this man. I would would blame all of my problems on this man. I would take all of my frustration. If my parents were murdered, I would have nightmares about this man and his army. And here I am in his house. I would want to poison him if I could. Now, don't be that best sit back there and be a whole lot more religious. Not me. I would love him with the love of Jesus. Well, let me shake your hand. I need some of that to rub off on me. I mean, yeah, that's the right thing to do. I understand that. But let's be honest. I'd hate him. And she loved him. What? What? How? How could she love him? How could she want to heal him? It's beyond explanation. And folks, the work of missions, the work of winning souls, the work of being a witness is loving people sometimes that are unlovable. That you have no reason to love other than Jesus told you to. Isn't it great that every time you go out soul winning, everybody wants it and everybody gets saved? That don't happen. In South Africa, we do have the wonderful privilege that when we give out gospel tracts, they take them. We can stand on the street corner on a busy Saturday morning. We always go the last Saturday morning of the month because everybody's out doing their stuff and most people are walking around. And we'll stand on the street corner and we'll hand out tracts. And literally, folks, in less than an hour, we can hand out about 500 gospel tracts. And when we walk away, there's less than five on the ground. That's awesome. When we give a tract, they read it. What a shock. They actually read it. I almost want to say, are you reading that? When I first went over there, I said, here you go. And they're like, I'm like, are you really going to read that? They do. And then the cashier over there wants one. And then that one, that. Say, hey, would you give that? I want one of those. I want two for my friend. But some people won't want them. Some people's going to slam the door in your face. Some people's going to tell you, mind your own business. Sometimes we're just going to have love people anyway. Compassion. The Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference in Jude verse 22. Think about this man, and yet she had this heartfelt love for him and wanted to see him cured. And sometimes, let's be honest, we are not the soul winners, we're not the missionaries that we ought to be simply because we cannot find compassion in our heart for everyone. We kind of pick and choose who we want to witness to. And then finally, I believe she was a little missionary, not only because she was captive and committed and compassionate, but I like it. She was confident in the cure. Look at verse 3. It says, would God my Lord with the prophets in Samaria, for he might recover him of his leprosy. No, it's not what it says. Well, maybe he will. I mean, we're praying. We're hoping. No. She said, he would recover. You think about the courage that took for that little girl, Brother Sexton. I mean, to stand there as probably 11, 12-year-old girl and boldly stand up there and say, you get him to the man of God and he will heal him. I mean, I'm sure they looked at her like, what are you talking about? Who do you know? What do you know about it? Huh? But she wasn't intimidated. She stood there and proclaimed, you get him to the man. He will heal him. I mean, in reality, I think that if we go back to the thinking about how they thought, how they worked and did things in the Bible days, if she said this and they went through this and it turned out to be nothing but a joke or whatever, they could just kill her. And folks, how many times do we get intimidated? We get a little intimidated, you know, about how people are going to think and what people are going to say, you know, and maybe go out door knocking and I knock too loud. Sometimes we'll go to the door and almost hope they don't come to the door. You know, well, I don't think there's anybody at this house. Let's go to the next one. Oh, no, here they come. And you're going through your mind what you're going to say, you know. And then they open the door. Excuse me, ma'am. I really hate to bother you on this real wonderful night and hate to interrupt your family and everything. And I know and everything, but you wouldn't want to come down to the Ridgeview Baptist Church. I didn't think you did. God bless you now. That's about the way we are. We hand out tracts like it's a hit and run thing, you know. Here you go, read that sometime. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we hope they don't catch us. Or you ever walk by a bench at the mall and you got a gospel tract, you know, and you're... And you're so proud of yourself because you was a witness for Jesus. I gave out a gospel tract today. You did? Yeah. Where at? To that bench right there. I hope that bench gets saved. Hope it don't burn in hell. Come on, people. People will stand in our face and scream at us because the whales need to be saved. Because, and they'll come up and down the streets, they'll stand out in the malls, they'll spend all the money and the time, and they'll boldly walk up to you and tell you about how they need to save the rainforests in the Amazon. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
We'll tell everybody we know about our football team. I don't tell anybody about my football team. I root for Carolina Tar Heels. If y'all would like to hire Larry Fedora, I'd love for y'all to do that. But we'll tell everybody about Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama. I mean, you know what? My pro football team. Wow! I mean, he put up 4 touchdowns yesterday. Come here, let me tell you about it. But when it comes time to tell people about Jesus, well, I don't want to embarrass nobody. Amen. Embarrass nobody. My good, listen, if your ball team wins on Sunday, on Monday, you'll wear everything you got to work and flaunt it in front of everybody's face. And you don't care what nobody says. You'd fight somebody if they said something about your team. But they're cussing Jesus and we don't say nothing. I like that old guy. He was in a truck stop one day and he was sitting there. I don't know. It's been a long time ago. I heard this story. True story, though. He was sitting in a truck stop one night and these 4 guys behind him, they was just cussing Jesus, cussing Lord. And every time they'd do it, he was sitting in the booth next to him. He'd say, "Praise the Lord." And he would get quiet over there and they'd go back to talking and to cussing, and one of them would let out a cuss word. He'd go, "Praise the name of Jesus." About the third time, one of them sitting right behind him turned around and said, "Buddy, do you have a problem?" He said, "Well, I figured if you could cuss the Lord, I could praise Him." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm not talking about being some crazy nut, you know, and going on TV with a rainbow wig and John 3:16 on your t-shirt. No, I mean, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, when God gives us the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life with a word of Scripture or something about the Lord Jesus, don't be ashamed of Him. What kind of missionary would I be? You ought to just rack that card off the wall and drop me yesterday if you found out that somehow that all I ever did was go over there and just sit around and never give it. What if you asked me, well, what do you do as far as evangelism? Well, we don't really do that. You know, we got the church planted and we've got it in the newspapers. And if they want to come, they'll come. Drop me yesterday. Amen.
Yes, sir.
What did God send me to do but to give out the seed of the Word of God?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
We got a table in our church. We call it the seed table. We got gospel tracts and Bibles and everything on there. And we tell people at the end of every service, now go back and get you some seed now. Sow the seed this week. Give it out. And some of those people are more bold than I am. Man, they'll stop traffic in the middle of the road, make them roll their window down, give it to them. I love it. I'm walking up the street, you know, I'm giving out to people walking. I look over there, one of my members is standing right in the middle of the intersection at the red light and right up to the window and picking on the window. And that person's like, he said, I'll just give you something about Jesus. And then they'll roll that window up and they're reading it. I said, Brother Eckhart, I don't know if I'd do that. Oh, no, they need to hear about Jesus, preacher. I love it. We've lost our boldness. I think sometimes we act like we've lost confidence in the gospel. As if it doesn't work anymore. As if somehow it doesn't save anybody anymore. We pray as if, oh God, would you please save them? Oh, maybe, oh, somehow by the mercies of heaven, maybe somehow something will happen, they'll get saved. And we're praying with no confidence, no assurance whatsoever that God will save their soul. You have not because you ask not, but you have not because you ask amiss without faith believing. She was confident. You get him to the man of God, he'll cure him. And what happened? He got cured. All because Naaman's life was changed. You think about his life, how much influence he had on other people. I don't think Naaman was the last guy that got saved in this story. I believe there's a lot of people that got to God because of Naaman. Amen. And it all started with this little missionary to Syria. Where is your mission field tonight? Where has God put you? God has put my family in Kimberley, South Africa. But God has placed you somewhere. And God wants you to be that missionary in that place. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this privilege to preach tonight. Lord, I thank you for just allowing us the privilege and the freedom to preach. God, I pray that you'll use the message to stir our hearts and give us a greater burden, Lord Jesus, for the needs of lost sinners, I pray. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.